Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody on this snowy day?
We're here.
We're here, yeah. Some of us are here. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we begin worship this morning, please turn off your cell phones and join in quiet reflection on God's presence while hearing the prelude by Donna. Good morning again and welcome. Please register your attendance on the friendship sheets that are located in your pews. Be sure to return the sheets to the center aisle and notice who is sitting next to you. Please look over the printed calendar of events listed in the bulletin. Next Sunday is fairly busy at FCC. It'll be, first of all, we have a breakfast in Fellowship Hall at 9 o'clock. Pancakes will be provided by Tom Dowler and Ted Grooms. All are invited. There will be no Sunday school that day. Also, it is All Saints Sunday. If you have anybody that you know or care about that has passed away in the past year, please let Kathy know in the office by noon on Wednesday. It's also Consecration Sunday. Where's the little? You'll find this in your bulletin, and you should have received a mailing at home. We'll turn those in next week. November 10th, after that, will be Veterans Sunday, and Tammy and Ryan Heck are going to sponsor or host a brunch. So please come to that. It is after the 10:10 service. Please sign up so they know how much to cook. Any other announcements, Becky?
The Iris Clubhouse is holding a fundraiser on November 16th. All proceeds go directly to the clubhouse. Its mission is to end social and economic isolation for people with mental illness and to provide a safe place for them to recover and rejoin society through employment, volunteering, developing relationships. Just a good place to be. So for information or tickets, you can talk to me. Tickets are $20.
Cindy?
My good friend Paul has told me numerous times that once you're an elder, you're always an elder. And someone else told me once that there's no such thing as a retired Christian. If this is true for elders and Christians as a whole, this is doubly true, trebly true for retired clergymen. And October in the Disciples of Christ Church is the month of the clergy for clergy appreciation. So I would like to invite Paul and Bob up for a small token of how much we appreciate the fact that they are retired and they are not retired.
Any other announcements? Paul.
I do on the other side of the coin want to talk beyond retirement. There's retirement into heaven. And our friend Harvey Lutzager, who's preached here several times, who was an associate minister of Mudd in Colorado, passed away on Friday. And please keep him in your prayers. He will be next Friday. But I hope that he's retired here. Right now. Anyway.
I guess I have one last announcement that I missed. Michelle Elsler's community group will meet in Fellowship Hall at 3:30 this afternoon. Anybody else? That's it? Okay. Please join in singing our opening hymn, number 67, verses 1, 2, and 6. Oh God.
What? Do we greet each other first?
Oh, I haven't got to that part. But first, let's stand and greet one another with peace of Christ.
I had it in my notes.
Well, we did all my stuff.
Did you?
Please join me in the call to worship. Lord, we come before you with open hearts and hands.
Come, Lord, hear our prayers for peace and unity.
Lord, we come again and again, asking for your guidance and assurance.
Show us your way, Lord. Keep us steadfast in our prayers to you.
Lord, today we recall your faithfulness. Thank you that you walk with us every day, that you are with us in each moment. Thank you for your promises, that your promises are true and your goodness never fails us. In this moment, we come to you and we lay our lives before you. May we worship and adore you with every fiber of our being. May everything within us cry, "Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so today, join with all those who worship and confess you as our Lord for generations past and present, and with all the angels that sing in heaven of your greatness and beauty. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we love you. Lord, you are so precious to us. Stir in our hearts and minds to learn anew your will for our lives during this time of worship as we offer you our praise, saying the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to we will now sing our hymn of prayer, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," page 585, verses 1 and 2. Children, please come up.
know, that's very important to Mackenzie today because I got a picture showing her with her shovel out helping her dad shovel the walk this morning. You know, shoveling, it has lots of different things we can shovel. We can shovel snow. What else can we shovel? Dirt. And we can shovel, what else? Dirt, shovel, sand.
Sand.
I rake leaves, and I sometimes have to take a shovel to dump them in the garbage can. But shoveling, first of all, it reminds me to put a plug in for our church facility that we need people to shovel the walks at church because that's a really important job, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things I realized as we have a great grandma and a great grandpa who use a cane and a walker. And you know that the only way to get into the fellowship hall from the elevator, they have to go back outside to get in the elevator to come up. Well, you know, sometimes, like a week ago or so, that path was full of snow. And so we've got to remember that we've got to shovel the way to help everybody out.
I'll
because Great Grandma's walker does not have a snowplow on it. So we've got to remember to make sure that we help each other out by shoveling the church. You can shovel your neighbor's walks. You can shovel, you can go out and just help shovel away from the doors of the church so people can get in safely. Those are things Jesus would want us to do, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he wants us to shovel those sidewalks.
I'll shovel
them. So remember,
there.
If you haven't signed up to shovel, or you come and somebody hasn't shoveled yet, grab a shovel, and we'll all be ready to help. Right, Mackenzie?
Right.
Okay. Let's go to Sunday school. Oh, and the plug, next week there is Children's Sunday School during the worship hour like there always is. Okay.
Whoa.
Does someone else want to take the basket for next week?
You
want it? Okay. He hasn't had it yet, okay? Okay.
Our card shower for this week is for Marie Robertson, also carrying Living with Cancer, Cal Decker, Colleen Zingen, etc., and health and other concerns. Also for our senior members and our prayer partners is First Christian Church in Greeley. Are there any other praises or concerns? Yes. Any others?
Yes.
My neighbor, who was 92, did have hip surgery because her hip replacement was not staying put.
Of prayer concerns and things this past week, and I'd just like to lift
Definitely. Yes.
I asked for prayers for a friend who was having a biopsy, and the results came back negative, so she's cancer-free. And I just want to thank everybody for all their prayers.
Taking notes here quick. Any others?
Pray for those who are serving in the armed forces, especially those who are stationed in the Middle East.
Any more? Let's go to the Lord in a moment of silent prayer. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we take great comfort in knowing that we can talk to you anytime, anywhere, about anything. Please hear our prayers for the joys and concerns we've spoken for. For Tika, who is in a car accident, paralyzed, and prays that she's been healed as much as she has been, and pray for continued healing. For our 92-year-old neighbor having hip surgery for the second time, pray for support in there. And also recently in our congregation, leaders of all families that have had many prayer concerns and also joys for people stepping up and answering the call and showing your love. Also prayers of joy for friends and coworkers dealing with cancer, and there'd be prayer for healing or rejoicing that there is no cancer. And especially pray for our military, our armed forces that put themselves, their lives, their families on the line or in whole, especially in the Middle East. And pray all these things, spoken and unspoken, in Jesus' name, amen.
As disciples of Christ, it is our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus Christ to join in the celebration of Holy Communion as just one way to celebrate our given unity in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would still our minds and quiet our hearts as we approach this communion table today. We ask that you would draw each one of us into ever closer fellowship with yourself as we partake together of the bread and wine in grateful remembrance of what you did for each one of us on Calvary's cross. Amen. Our hymn of communion is One Bread, One Body, in the hymnal on page 393.
Thank you.
As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf of bread and having given thanks said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray.
Ever-present God, be near to those who turn to you in thanksgiving, praise, and prayer. Bless the cup as we partake of it in memory of Jesus. We acknowledge his continuing presence in the lives of those who seek his salvation. Be present within us, O God, so that these moments of renewal will bring us to active witness for you in the days that lie ahead. Use us daily in your service. Amen.
We offer ourselves, our tithes, and our offerings to you. Our giving is only the beginning of how we might honor you in gratitude, for you desire even more than our lives, lived in you might be all love towards you and all your children on earth. We give joyfully, knowing instead that grace and love are ours to be claimed in Jesus Christ. Such a gift to be freed from judgment is far beyond our giving. May our gratitude be shown not just in what we give, but also in how we use all our resources to live our lives in love and compassion. In thankfulness we pray, amen. The deacons will now collect our offering. God of grace, we know you want justice rolling down like water. Accept these gifts from our hands, which we cast upon the waters of your love, a generous overflowing stream, feeding the hungry and helping those in need. Accept these gifts for the work of your church. Amen. Sweet. first reading will be from Psalms 119, verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Second reading will be in Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, on page 81. Wait a minute. 81 of your pew Bible. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the reading of the Bible.
We pray. Gracious ones, we are grateful that we are able to be together on this wintry day. May you open our hearts and our ears and eyes to receive the word this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I have a colleague who shared a story about an elderly gentleman who would attend every healing service that the church conducted. And he would come forward when the service started, and he would kneel down, and he would say these words: "For my mind and my ability to know my loved ones." This gentle soul suffered from dementia, as most of you know, is a mental disorder. And still, time after time, it was the same request: "For my mind and my ability to recognize my loved ones." And each time he was prayed for and he was anointed with oil. Yet to this day, according to my colleague, he is as confused as he was the first day that he came for healing. Yet, he never stopped praying. Never stopped praying. And he always had the same mantra: "For my mind and my ability to know my loved ones." This story reminds me how so often there are situations that move us to pray. And it's a blessing how we pray here at First Church. But we also pray individually in our own devotions and at home. And we pray for guidance. And we pray for support. And we pray for our loved ones. Just as with today's story of the widow, there are modern day examples of those seeking help, seeking support, as well as those serving to play the same role of the unjust judge that we see in today's gospel lesson. Every day, immigrants, both legal and illegal, come to this country seeking a new life, a better life. And often they are greeted with words or actions that say, "You don't belong here. I don't want to see or hear from you." Are these the words of an unjust judge? Recently, I heard about a young gay student who took his own life because he was being harassed at school and people were making fun of him because he happened to be gay. He was just 16 years old. Were these the taunts of an unjust judge? One wonders. Throughout the world, the poor struggle to survive without adequate food, clothing, shelter, water, medicine, or work. Do they pray for an end to their way of life and suffering, or do they just exist? One wonders if anything can be done to bring about a decent quality of life for millions of people. And we wonder if their way of life is due to the unjust judges of this world. During one of my shifts as a victim advocate for the Casper Police Department, by the way, last night I was called out in this weather, believe it. But recently, during one of my shifts, I saw and heard the victim openly weep because she was struggling with this need to drink. And that was a problem for her. It is the same woman who lives in fear of her husband's anger and violence against her. Again. The forces at work seem unjust. Is her husband similar to an unjust judge as well? These are just a few examples that might be similar to the situation that our widow faced in today's parable. And the list could go on and on. There are people praying for and demanding for a new life. They hope that things will change. They seek something different in their lives, something other than what they have right now. They seek relief. They seek relief from the unjust judges of this world. It's not right. It's not right. They know it, we know it, and God knows it. They live, and some died standing before an unfair or unjust judge. The seemingly unjust judge wears many, many disguises: prejudice, hatred, fear, disease that won't be healed, economic systems, death, grief, addiction, and unjust regimes. Regardless of the disguise, the unjust judge neither fears God nor respects people. And yet, in the middle of this particular parable, the unjust judge does end up relenting and offers justice to this persistent widow. It is a reminder that in the face of seemingly what is unchangeable, there is always the possibility of redemption and justice at hand. In a sense, standing before an unjust judge, life seems big, powerful, and overwhelming. And you may feel small, powerless, and alone. If that's the case, there may be no one to defend you or to represent you. You stand by yourself, unsure what to believe about life, unsure what to believe about yourself. No matter what you say or do, nothing changes. Nothing seems to work. You don't know what else to do. Like the widow in today's parable that Jesus told. The widow, day after day, she cries out, silently laments, possibly to herself. And yet, persistence in prayer can, in fact, win out in a healing capacity and the capacity of inspiring transformation of both oneself as well as those around us. That is the widow's story in today's parable. And so I ask you, have you ever felt that way? Or have you ever felt that the world around you is like the unjust judge? So what do you do when you feel like you're standing before an unjust judge? What do you do when you see another human being who's seemingly facing unjust and adversarial circumstances? What do you do? Some get angry and fight back, becoming as hardened and unjust as the judge himself. Some will give up and believe what the unjust says, believing that is the final reality of life and it is not going to get better. And yet there'll be some who will be complacent. Many will be content to be mere passive observers. This doesn't have anything to do with me, they reflect. And Yes, some will also blame God and seeing God as the unjust judge. There are those, however, who will discover and trust the widow's faith. There are those who will peer deeper into the realities at hand and find kernels of love and hope, choosing to stay rootedness in prayerfulness, and even more importantly, to take that prayerfulness and turn it into loving action in the world. So, brothers and sisters, here is the crux, the crucial message of Jesus that he gives us today. Pray always, and do not lose heart. This is the widow's faith. Day after day, what does she do? She shows up. Day after day, she speaks of the injustice done to her. Day after day, she holds her pain before the judge, before the world, and before God. To pray always is not giving God a to-do list. And then sitting back and expecting God to do something magically to fix the situation. To pray always means that we offer our lament to God. It's okay. Offer one's lament to God. Then we do whatever we can to seek the change that we seek. Trusting that God is already doing what God needs to do. Maybe that means seeking counseling or seeking a support group. We feed the hungry. We offer compassion to others who are grieving. We speak and teach against hatred and prejudice, respecting the dignity of every human being on the face of the earth. We strive for peace. We strive for justice. And we make our case not just before God. We make our case with God, with God. We join God in answering our own prayers. Some believe that prayer is convincing, cajoling God, persuading or wearing God down to the point that he will do what we ask him to do. It is this idea that God is out there somewhere and not here. Not here. Not here. If this is the case, if God's out there, then we can see God as a distant God, a God who is uncaring about us, that is not really caring about the world around us. In this perspective, it may feel that we have to persuade God to show up and act. And one might think this only happens if we're good enough. Believe the right things and say the right words over and over again. This is not what it means to pray always. If that is what we have been taught or what we have come to believe, this parable says otherwise. Jesus rejects that understanding of the relationship between God and his people. God is not the unjust judge. God sees our suffering. God hears our cries. God does grant justice. And yet we may say, oh, when is this justice going to arrive? When is it going to come? The widow's faith always involves waiting. It always involves waiting. It may not seem that the justice comes or God is there, but the widow tells us something about the concept of waiting. Yes, we ask the question, how long? We ask the question, will it change? And we don't know. None of us can ever know. But the widow is telling us something about waiting. Waiting. Waiting doesn't mean that God is absent. Waiting means that God is not caring. Waiting does not mean that God is not active. You see, the widow does not wait on God. She waits with God. To pray always is to keep trusting and not losing heart. It keeps the woman, it keeps each and every one of us trusting that showing up every day, showing up and trusting that God does hear us, seeing and hearing, and that God does act. To pray always is what keeps us present to and in relationship with God. so that when God does act, we will be present and aware. To live the widow's faith, to pray always and not to lose heart, may be some of the most difficult and necessary work that we are called to do. Jesus does not ask us to do what we cannot do. He does not ask us to go where he has not always been, not always had already been. Jesus has lived the widow's faith. The widow's life and faith is Jesus' life and faith. This faith is always deep within each and every one of us. We already have all that we need to face, yes, to face the unjust justices of this world. In closing, no matter what unjust judge we may feel that we're standing before, remember that we stand before God first and foremost. God is always, always with us. God always hears us. And the Holy Spirit lives within each of us to guide us, to direct us, to give us strength, to give us the perseverance that we need to face whatever challenges that might come our way. So to pray always should be our daily mantra. And to pray unceasingly, may it be so. Amen.
We welcome new members by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior or to make First Christian your church home. Please talk to one of our elders or come forward during this hymn. We'll now sing our closing hymn, Go My Children with Blessings, page 431 of the hymnal. May you continually wrestle with prayer. May you beseech the door of heaven with shameless boldness. May your prayers produce in you a countenance of joy, a gracious demeanor, and a peaceful heart. And may the God of hope fill you with all peace, that you may abound in hope. assured that your prayers are heard by a loving and gracious Father. Amen.
When I first spoke.